This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Bobby Itty Bitty Serrato draft 6 days away. First round anyway. We're here to talk about that and more from Yahoo Sports. Let's welcome back to the show Eric Edholm. Eric, what's going on?
I'm just waiting for this draft to come. It's getting closer. We're ready for it.
Now, could you do the mock drafts and you cover it as closely as anyone? And when we read reports, well, the AFC scout says that he's the best thing since sliced bread, and NFC scout says he doesn't have the skills to carry John Elway's spit guard and all of this. I almost cussed it. All of this stuff. I mean, how seriously do we take this sort of leakage from the quote unquote insider types with the teams?
Yeah, I mean, I have people that I talk to, right, and I try to, you know, weigh their opinions with, you know, obviously a lot of them have been doing this for a long time, and I try to take all the information, put it in a bowl, and ask myself, what does it mean, you know, and we forget too that it takes one team to love a player, right? I mean, 31 teams could despise a prospect theoretically, and one can love them. And ultimately, that's all that matters, right? Yep. I mean, if they take him at, you know, X number position in round one, they've got conviction even if everybody doesn't. So you have to kind of keep in mind that not everybody thinks alike. So as far as the other stuff people report, especially this time of year, I mean, it can be a little bit outrageous, right? And it can be a little bit hyperbolic at times. But you read it and then sort of quickly dispense with it if it's just, you know, sort of an opinion that isn't necessarily backed up by a lot of fact or substance. So it's hard to do, but it's part of the process.
Now, as far as this year's quarterback class, is there any that you love or like a lot? And how would you compare the projected first round guys to the more recent draft classes?
Yeah, I mean, compared to last year, it obviously pales. And look, a lot of those guys struggled last year. I mean, and, you know, Trevor Lawrence didn't look great, and Zach Wilson was hurt and didn't look great before he, you know, I mean, at the end of the year, we saw better. Trey Lance, 2 starts, you know, Justin Fields in and out of the lineup, and, you know, Mac Jones solid, but obviously tailed off as well at the end of the year. So it's, you know, you start from that perspective of, well, last year was considered a whole lot better. The top five this year, you know, does that mean they're going to be even worse? It's possible, certainly. I don't love any of them, but I don't despise any of them. I don't think they're, you know, if we're just sort of talking about the, you know, Malik Willis, Kenny Pickett, Desmond Ridder, Matt Corral, Sam Howell, those five, which I think are going to be the first five off the board, they're a notch or two collectively below last year's group. And, you know, that's not to say Desmond Ridder, Kenny Pickett, with a lot of college experience, almost 100 games between them in college football, can't come in and be mentally prepared for, you know, anything that's thrown at them, be solid, you know, or game managers. Not to say that in 3 years Malik Willis couldn't be, you know, on the Josh Allen track. I'm not saying he's that good. I don't think he is, but he's got some tools, right? So a lot of it is fit. It really ends up, I know that's a cop out. We won't really know until the teams draft them and get an idea what they might be doing with them, but fit is so important. When you look back at quarterback bust, it feels like you can really derail a prospect's, a quarterback's career if they're not in a somewhat ideal situation or on an ideal track, you know, not just this year, but beyond.
Eric Edholm joining us here, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Hey, Eric, now Jordan Davis, I mean, because when I look at him, you know, people say, well, we'll get him to be a pass rusher. I mean, he's, for 4 years, he was at Georgia, you know, and 2.5 sacks is the most sacks available, you know, or that he's had. You know, so I think he's a dominant run player, but I just don't see him as a pass guy, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he has generated a lot of fascinating debate. Mm-hmm. I've heard some you know, various opinions on, well, he can become Vita Vea or he can become Haloti Ngata or he can, you know. Well, if they haven't done it at this point, and it's different if it's a, you know, if it's a guy who only played maybe one or two full seasons in college. Well, it's a player who's been out there for a little bit. And I thought he was a little disappointing in 2020, really picked it up last year. And some of his impact clearly goes beyond the stats, right, where, you know, you see teams try to double team him and he's just rooted to the spot. There's a value in that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Stalemate double teams and all that. But you're right. With those athletic traits for such a big man, you would expect a little bit more disruption on the stat sheet. You know, forced fumbles, tackles for loss, sacks, pressures. That's what worries you. Now, was he asked to do that often at Georgia? Not really, but
yeah, he was never on a field on third down.
And he was, yeah. If you're right, if you get caught in a 2-minute defense, you know, like he's probably not going to be out there at all until it's goal line, right? So, yeah, there's just a question of value. Like, what do you do with a unicorn essentially, whose value and breadth of usage may be a little limited?
Eric, who'd you have the Ravens taken? Because I think the guys that the Ravens are going to want are going to be gone. Three rushers and three tackles.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're probably right about the tackles for sure. I mean, the edge rushers, the question is, yeah, it's hard to know. I keep hearing there's going to be some players who are 50-50 on whether they'll be there at 14. I mean, and that's the question. I mean, I wouldn't have assumed that Jermaine Johnson from Florida State would be there at 14 if you'd asked me a week or two ago. I don't know, but I'm starting to think there's at least a chance. So, you know, I mean, you could make a case for him, even if he's, you know, not a perfect fit. I mean, he's certainly good enough, I think. The tackle position is going to be interesting, right? What do they think of Trevor Penning? What do they think of, you know, some of the other guys who are, you know, maybe a little closer to the bottom of round one or the middle of round one? So, yeah, there are certainly some options, but if there are quarterbacks on the board at 14 or receivers on the board at 14, I think some trade offers will come their way. I think those are the positions that quarterback I'm less sure about. It wouldn't be shocking if none are off the board at that point. But receiver is the one where you could see a run starting at 10, 11, that range, even 12 maybe. And so 14 ends up being pretty valuable, real estate from a trade perspective.
Now, Eric, who do you think, let's say the three rushers are gone, the three tackles are gone, and you're stuck at 14, you got nowhere to go. Who would be like some candidate? And Stingley would be gone and Sauce would be gone probably too. Who would be candidates for you then at 14? Like, this is worst case scenario.
Yeah, I mean, assuming that Ekwonu, Neal, and Cross are
all gone, yeah,
I can make a case for Trevor Penning, and I think he's got that, you know, that Ravens nastiness in his game. I mean, does he need some refinement? Yeah, absolutely, but you know, level of competition jump. But I saw him at the Senior Bowl. I'm not as worried about that. For you know, I think he's like Taylor Lewan Jr., and I think that would be pretty. To me, now maybe the league feels is a little softer on him than I am, but I think there's a value in that. He committed a lot of penalties last year, plays, you know, beyond the echo of the whistle. So you do kind of have to tone that down a little or get him to play, you know, a little bit more smartly at times. But boy, I mean, I think he has a lot to work with. And then, you know, there's always the and I know receivers one that would be a tough sell maybe, but you know, Jameson Williams, because of the injury being, you know, possibly being on the board in that range, it's the question of, you know, he's going to go in the next few picks if he isn't already. You know, we don't get him right away. He's not going to make it a day one impact. But whenever he is ready, we might have something really special there. And you do have to think just beyond what your immediate needs are. So he would be like a wild card option, I think, as far as that goes. But, yeah, I mean, I would say – you know, Penning makes a lot of sense. And then you have to ask yourself, I don't think George Karlaftis is going that high. That's just my opinion. But, you know, that's really what it would come down to, I think.
I think the thing that hurt the Ravens was when Ojabo got hurt, because I think he would have been worthy of 14. I think he was, you know, the ability to bend the corner and do the things that he can do. I mean, if I'm going to take a chance on a guy, like my wife, she's a foot and ankle orthopedic surgeon, and she said, much better to have a torn Achilles than a torn ACL.
That's really interesting she said that, and especially, you know, after Cam Akers came back in 6 months. Like, that was, you know, kind of record time for that, at least on the NFL level. We haven't seen it.
Eric, you know what, real quick, like, I was with my wife and her best friend. We were in Michigan last week, and he runs the Michigan foot and ankle. And I asked him, did you do a Jabos? And he said, they called, you know, he was in a meeting, but the agent, you know, rushed him to New York. And he thinks, in reality, it'll be 9 to 10 months for an Achilles. And I read about Cam Akers, and he said he wasn't 100%, you know, when he played in those games. So, like, 9 to 10 months is probably what you're really looking at.
Yep, that seems to be kind of the standard timetable there. And you know, I mean, obviously your chances of re-injuring it are higher after, you know, of having it happen again are increased from what the normal risk would be and things like that. There's still a little bit of rawness to his game. You know, he's not a plus run defender yet. You know, I think there is some refinement, but boy, I agree with you. I think he was very much in that top 15, top 20 discussion. There's an obvious Michigan connection, right? A defensive coordinator now. And so, yeah, that's a player I'm fascinated to see where he goes. I could make a case that he should still go in the first round, one of the final picks, or, you know, wouldn't be, and with a fifth year option, you get a little more time to let him grow as a player, get healthy. But, you know, early second round wouldn't shock me either. So, yeah, his landing spot is going to be one to watch. I can't wait to see where he ends up going. It is too bad that, you know, essentially he's going to be on the shelf for quite a while.
Eric Edholm, Yahoo Sports. Eric, always appreciate your time. Enjoy the draft, and we will talk to you after the fact. Get your thoughts on it then.
Looking forward to it. See you guys.
All right, Eric.
Thursday.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.